in the Lord, and let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, our support and defense in every need, continue to preserve your church in safety, govern her by your goodness, and bless her with your peace. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Fire. a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening for fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to Jesus and greeted him. And he asked them, What are you arguing about with them? And someone from the crowd answered him, Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. And he answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell to the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, How long has this been happening to him? And he said, From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, If you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, He's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I hope for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text is from today's gospel reading, Mark chapter 9. The father of the boy with the unclean spirit begged Jesus, saying, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief." This is our text. You heard what that father said. If you can do anything, if you can help. On the one hand, we might want to grab a hold of him and say, what do you mean, if? Don't you know who this is? We're talking about Jesus here. Jesus. What can't he do? But then on the other hand, I think about that man, and I say, let's not be too harsh on him. After all, this father hadn't turned away. He hadn't given up in despair, not even when the disciples botched it. He isn't seeking help anywhere else. He is praying to Jesus. With that little word, if, he places himself, he places his son into the hands of Jesus. Yes, it's perhaps a little bit tentative, if you can, Jesus, but still, he hands the whole mess over to our Lord. How often have we made this prayer our own? Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion and help us. If you can do anything for my child, for my parent, for my marriage, for my job, for my health, for my finances, for my mental and emotional state, if you can, then do it. And what does Jesus do? Now, here I don't mean just in the immediate context of this story. We'll get back to that in a minute. But think about the big picture. What does Jesus do? If you can, help us. Have compassion. Jesus does have compassion. And his heart is way bigger than you can possibly imagine. His love for you and for your family members and for others, his heart is bigger than we realize. And he will do something. He will do anything. He will do everything to help, including this. You have to fast forward a little bit here, but including this, he will do this. It was now about the sixth hour, 12 o'clock noon, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, 3 p.m., while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice from the cross, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. This is what he could do, to show compassion and to help. To show compassion and to help those who are struggling through the darkness of this world, through a world that is broken, shattered at times, is not what it ought to be. He could do this. And you'll notice on the cross, Jesus didn't say, Father, if you can, into your hands I commit my spirit. But he simply did it. With his mission completed, he entrusted himself in full and perfect faith to his Father. And he was in control, not gasping, not whining, but with a loud voice, praying his life and his death into his Father's hands. Jesus is one who, in his suffering, trusts God. He is one who, in the hour of greatest need, hanging on the cross, turned to his Father in faith. Jesus Christ is faithful to the end. Having listened to the Father, having heard what his mission was, he came into this world to carry out that mission, even to the bitter end of his death. And he came to carry out that mission by speaking what he had heard, to bring consolation and peace to others. In our first reading today from Isaiah chapter 50, we hear a little preview of the crucifixion. We hear a little foretaste of it when Isaiah, describing the servant of the Lord, the one whom God would send to redeem his people, when that servant says that he will not shy from giving his back to those who will strike him, or offering his cheeks to those who will rip out his beard, that he is willing to endure disgrace and spitting to be that servant, that redeemer of Israel, the one who will buy back, who will rescue, who will pay for and redeem God's people. This is what Jesus has come to do. When the Father asks Jesus if you can do anything, it seems to me that he's asking for too little and not for too much. Jesus is able to do and will do far more than that man asks. But if we come back now to that moment in Mark chapter 9, this man whose son has the unclean spirit, it is disturbing. The scene is terrifying. It's like a nightmare. A boy is suffering, a young boy, and his father is suffering too. And as you hear the story, you learn that this has been going on since childhood for a long time. How weary this father must be. How worn out with caring for his son, with seeking for some help, some solution to this nightmare. A spirit makes the boy mute. He cannot talk. It seizes him. It throws him down to the ground. He foams. He grinds his teeth. He becomes rigid. And the spirit will even drive this boy at times toward an open flame or a body of water seeking to destroy him. It happens regularly. Can you imagine the eagle eye that that father has for his child? Can you imagine how easily he's woken up at night by the smallest disturbance, wondering if something is happening to his son then? You almost get the sense that this spirit can do whatever it wants with the boy, and he is helpless, and the father is helpless, and the reality is terrifying. Evil is real, and it is overpoweringly strong. And even the disciples of Jesus, when they're asked to help, they cannot. They are unable to alleviate this suffering. And then this unclean spirit has the nerve to do this in front of Jesus. They bring the boy to Jesus, and the spirit does its worst once again. It convulses the boy. He's thrown down. He's rolling about. He's thrashing on the ground. He's foaming at the mouth. And the father, you can almost hear him, someone, help, do something. Isn't there something that anyone can do to stop this? You can almost imagine the father speaking to his son as well, at least on the inside. I'm so sorry, son. I don't know what to do. I'm sorry. I can't help you. I love you. Please, God, help him. Help me. Help us. The weariness of this man, the hopes and the dreams that have been crushed with this child who is possessed. And he wonders where he can turn. And this father brings his son ultimately to Jesus' disciples in the hopes that he can bring him to Jesus. He has heard something about Jesus. And I want to note that this is where faith begins. Fools are the ones who say in their heart there is no God, who simply chuck God and everything out the window. But here it begins with hearing about Jesus. Just a word. He knows of Christ. Now that's not enough. James tells us that even the devil knows that God exists, but that doesn't do him any good. The Father not only knows, but he also in some way assents to the fact that Jesus is able to do these things. But then comes the last matter of faith, the confidence and the trust in Jesus. And this is where the man falters. He brings the boy to Jesus and the spirit convulses him. And Jesus says, how long has this been happening? And the father says, from childhood. And it's cast him into fire, into water. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can. All things are possible for one who believes. And immediately the father of the child cries out and says, I believe. Help my unbelief. He has heard of Jesus and believes that it's true. He even has gone so far as to bring his son to Jesus. But in this moment, when it comes to entrusting his son to Jesus, when it comes to having confidence in Jesus, he's tossed every which way. Yes, I believe, but I also don't believe. I don't know what to do. And Jesus doesn't send him away. He doesn't say, come back when you fully believe, when your heart's fully in it, when you know and trust everything that I say and do. The father is so helpless, he doesn't even know where to turn with his lack of faith, except to Jesus. In order for his child to be freed from this constant terrorizing, all that he has to do is believe, and he's not even able to do that, or to do it well. And he knows it. The unbelief is too strong, but Jesus is stronger still. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. In your own life, when are the times when you have said to Jesus, maybe clearly, confidently, boldly, I believe? When are the times that you've entrusted yourself or your loved ones into his hands? And on the other hand, when are those times when you've had to say, help my unbelief? Because you know yourself. You know your weakness. You know your doubt. You know the situation. And all you can do is cast all of it into Jesus' hands. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When are the moments when you will say that very thing this week, whether out loud or internally? Yes, I believe, and yet I don't believe. Help me, Lord. And Jesus does help. He gives the Father a promise of help and of salvation. All things are possible for one who believes. Now we have to be careful with that word. Jesus isn't giving us a blank check. He's not saying, oh, whatever you want is possible so long as you believe firmly and deeply enough. I can believe in a lot of things that are wrong, and I can believe in them very firmly, and they will lead nowhere good. So we might add, because this is what Jesus is saying, all things are possible for one who believes in me. It is faith in Jesus that saves. Faith in Jesus that brings the help and compassion that he has for us. And this is what the Father is given. He is given this gift of faith so that he can cling to that promise. And then Jesus gives the gift of deliverance to that boy. The Father is not here recognizing any particular sin, but he is recognizing the fallenness of this world, the brokenness of the world in which we live, the darkness around us. And this is what brings this Father to his knees, turning to Jesus, looking there for help and compassion. Repentance is turning to Jesus, recognizing how small and weak we are, and how big and strong and wonderful and beautiful he is. Martin Chemnitz, who was known as the second Martin after Martin Luther, writing in the mid-16th century, had this beautiful statement to say about faith. He said, if faith is not mistaken in its object, but lays hold of it, be it ever so tremblingly, with ever so weak a confidence, with only the striving for and desiring of it, such faith indeed is small and weak, but nevertheless true faith. I want you to hear that again. If faith is not mistaken in its object, in the thing that faith is looking at and holding on to, if you have a faith in the wrong thing, the object is wrong, it's not going to help. But if it's not mistaken in its object, if it lays hold of it, be it ever so tremblingly, with ever so weak a confidence, with only the striving for and desiring of it, such faith is indeed small and weak, but nevertheless true faith. And this is what that man has. When he turns with that trembling hand, when he turns with that weak confidence, when he turns to Jesus, he is turning to the right one. He is laying hold of the true object of faith. And with a word, Jesus is able to sustain this weary man. And with a word, he is able to heal his son. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know what the darkness is that we may face this week. I don't know the challenges that lie in front of us, but I do know that you have one to whom you can turn. Not only when you are feeling strong and confident and bold, but especially when you are feeling weak and in need and don't know where else to turn. You turn to Jesus. This is what we do. In fact, the words that Jesus spoke from the cross when he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," these are words that are given to us as Christians. And these are beautiful words that can be prayed every single day. There's a practice among Christians, in fact, to use these words at the end of the day. "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And to entrust ourselves to Jesus, who then entrusts us to his Father. These are also the words that we use at the end of a life, when we commend those who are dying into the hands of our God, trusting in his mercy and his salvation, trusting in what Jesus has done to rescue. But I would suggest to you that this is a practice we should take up with everything every day. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, into my hands I often commend things, but now into your hands I commend myself and my loved ones and my children and my hopes and my dreams and my needs and my fears. I commend it all to you." And it's not because of how strongly we commend it. It's not because of how strong our faith is that we hear the rescue and help that Jesus gives. But it's because of how strong he is. Strong enough to offer himself on the cross, and then strong enough on the third day to rise again as your living Lord. He is ascended on high, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. He knows your need. He hears your prayer. He knows your belief and your unbelief. And he gives you his word to sustain you and to strengthen you. You can call out to him in the confidence that he does have compassion and that he will help, because he is your crucified and risen Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of faith and its strengthening, even in the midst of unbelief, that God would sustain us through the many troubles and trials of this world, where unclean spirits often afflict us and those we love. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors, that the Lord would prosper in every place the preaching of his word and send his Holy Spirit to strengthen them to proclaim it with clarity and joy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all hearers of the word, that the Holy Spirit would open their ears to believe his word with gladness and to put that faith into action. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our governing authorities, that God would guard their tongues so that they do not stumble in what they say, but speak wisely, leading in accord with his will. And for our citizens, that God would give us wisdom in electing our leaders. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who are unemployed or underemployed, that the Lord would raise up better opportunities for employment, provide their daily bread, and grant them peace. Let us pray to the Lord. For Casey, Stephanie, and Annie, that they would have good health and strength in their pregnancies, and for all abortion-vulnerable women, that the Lord would bring them the help that is needed that they and their children may live in peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Joyce, undergoing chemotherapy, Dave and Kate and Rick in their surgeries, Pastor Eddie and his family as he is in hospice care, Andrew, who is overwhelmed by life struggles, Becky, that you would bring healing to her heart, Ed, that you would grant thanksgiving and peace to him as he awaits the results of his testing, and for Diane, Amara, Marilyn, Al, Ann, Jared, Donna, Mark, Ed, John, and all others in need, that our God, with whom all things are possible, would not deny their prayers on account of unbelief, but grant them health and healing. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who come to the altar today, that the Lord would give us repentance and faith to welcome him with joy, praying, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Thank you.
thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 116, starting at the 10th verse. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly affected. I said to my alarm, "All mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?" I will lift up the Lord, the cup of salvation, and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. Precious is the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosened my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul for life everlasting. Depart in peace.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.